Welcome in to another episode of We're Talking. Today we're talking basketball, Reggie Cajun basketball. And we're going to wrap up the season today. And we'll get into maybe a little bit of what's going on after that. But right now, let's talk about the last games of the tournament there, Mike. Before we do that, how are you? I'm sorry.
Hey, Craig. I'm Mike Hebert, longtime Cajun fan.
Yep, sorry.
Usual introduction. Again, I don't know how qualified I am to do this, but I do observe pretty closely. I'm doing well. Basketball over, getting out of that mode, getting into wedding mode. In 11 days, I'll be traveling to Fredericksburg, Texas, where my daughter's having a destination wedding. So we're starting to plan that trip. My wife's taking care of most of those duties, fortunately, but I got a little bit to do with it that I'll be focused on at the end of the week. But anyway, basketball for Cajuns is over now. I will pay attention to the NCAA tournament. I always follow how the Sun Belt teams go. And this year is going to be James Madison, who blew out Arkansas State last night. Hope the Dukes do well. They may get a good seat since they had a great season. But let's talk about the Cajuns and how their season ended now.
Absolutely. Let's go back to that the first game of the tournament. They take on Coastal Carolina. Your thoughts there?
Well, first of all, I was surprised we played Coastal Carolina. I thought we'd play ULM. In the season, ULM was playing fairly well, but in any particular game, you never know. The freshman guard named Meyer went off in that game, in the Tuesday game a week ago, to put Coastal Carolina in the second round. So we did get to see that game, so knew a little bit about what to expect. But the biggest factor was our center, Ojeko, was hurt in the game against ULM. He was a game-time decision, did not play. I think that was a factor, actually, the Cajuns getting off to an early lead in that game, because Kobe Jr. was able to get to the rim. He had 7 of our first 14 points at either the first or second media. The score was 14-7. The lead could have been larger. Brandon Hardy had some good looks that just went in and out. No problem with the shots, just didn't make them. I figured if the three start falling, we might be able to extend the lead. We were doing a pretty good job on defense. I noticed that we've had several different guys on Meyer. I think it started with maybe Hardy was on him. You know, Hardy's been playing pretty well on defense, and we alternated between him, Thomas, and Kentrell Garnett. So the game's fairly close. You know, we got the 7-point lead, and about halfway through the first half, or a little closer to the end of the half, our threes finally started falling. We had 3 fall in a row. Then later on, Fields made one. I want to say something again. I've said this before. His shots fall and his technique is very good. His feet are together. He jumps. And watch a good jump shooter. Their feet, when they let the ball go, be slightly pointed towards the goal. They come slightly leaning there to go while still having arc. So that encourages me for the future. He just needs to be more consistent with that technique because he doesn't always have the technique and he's not as effective. So I think we got up to got up to 13. Unfortunately, the lead got cut to 13. Excuse me, the lead was 19. Got cut to 13 from, we got a little cold. Chance got some transition buckets. Meyer was pretty much helped in check, although he had double figure scoring. What he scored was when the Chance would get an offensive rebound and kick it back to him, or when the Cajuns would miss a shot and he'd get early offense and shoot quicker before the defense could set. But the end of the defense is 13. The defense gets us a 13-point lead at half. I thought at the end of the half, we got a little three happy, maybe a little impatient. Say that there's nothing wrong with taking threes, but if you take them early in the shot clock, maybe your defense is set up and you're not set up for offensive rebounds. But, you know, we're ready to go in the second half. I wondered how they would come out. Did you watch the first half?
I did not get an opportunity to, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was middle of the day, so we probably were working.
Actually, I saw the second half. I did not get to see the first half. And I'm drawing a complete blank on it now. So I apologize.
Well, the key to the first half, I think we only made, I think we made 9 threes. Percentage wasn't great, but we made 6 in the first half. Those 3 in a row that we made got the lead to double figures. And we just played from that point on with some optimism, I guess, they weren't going to cut the lead. Beginning of the second half, you just mentioned you saw that. I was real happy that they featured Hosanna Kintanje because I didn't think they went to him enough in the first half. Seemed like the coaching staff made a point. Okay, we went got three half at the end of the first half. Let's get him the ball. And I think he got the first 9 points at a half, definitely the first seven for us, and we extended the lead back out into the high teens.
I want to ask you a question, though, because you mentioned the three happy, and I'm kind of – I think sometimes we see this in different ways in the sense of if a team continues to play their offense, sometimes they – you know, and if that's early in the shot clock, continuing to shoot, if they're – you know, sometimes I feel like we take them out of rhythm by going longer in the shot clock. Am I simplifying that too long, much?
You may be, but in this particular game, even though he didn't score a lot in the first half, I sense that Hosanna had an advantage, and Kobe was getting to the rim and scoring in the first half. So we were able to score inside. So that's what I said when we got three happy. We took them early in the shot clock. We should have been a little more patient and got it to the big guys.
Okay.
So that's this game. That's not always the case. Sometimes you pass up open shot and end up with a worse shot. But in this particular game, we were able to get to the rim. And not having the Ojake guy who is, I can't say his name, but he was an all-conference player, one of the leading double-double guys in the league. So that really helped us. Of course, the Cajuns didn't have their regular point guard, and Davis Fulks, who did not make the trip. I didn't think Michael Thomas was as effective in either of the two games as he was in the game against Southern Miss. Not that his effort was poor. He did make a couple of key baskets in this game to get us off to a good start. But physically, at times, he was outmatched. But, you know, when the second half comes around and we get Hosanna scoring and the lead goes back to high teens, we went over 20 at one point. Now, we never really put them away completely. The chance they were in striking distance, because they did a pretty good job on the boards, even though they didn't have their big guy. Some of their backup big guys of good size, they were doing a good job getting offensive rebounds. And the Meyer guy was continuing to attack. You know, he didn't make any threes, which is a positive in our end, but he scored some mid-range shots. Now, and with about 8 minutes to go, the Cajuns had three consecutive steals. I think they got maybe 6-7 points out of that. And the lead's again 20 points. They put Joe on Meyer at the end of the game. He wasn't effective. And, you know, final margin of 14 points did not indicate how much the Cajuns dominated the game.
No. It really was a blowout. And I just don't know. I don't know what they could have done to play any better, quite honestly. And to your point about Michael Thomas, I think when he gets into a larger point guard, which I know we'll talk about a little bit more in the next on the next game, I think that's where he struggles a little bit. Michael is probably as big as he's going to get, probably as strong as he's going to get.
Yeah, considering he's been here 4 years. Coaches have joked, where'd he get that, that Cajun 15 pounds? He didn't hit him. But anyway, the game summary is, the success was because Kobe early and Hosanna in the second half scoring at the rim. We forced a lot of turnovers. Our three-point percentage wasn't good, but we hit a three-point barrage midway through the first half, got us the lead. And our three-point defense was excellent, and it's been most games this season. The only disappointment I saw is we allowed too many offensive rebounds. And again, even though their starting guy wasn't there, the Chanticleers have several good inside players, so not too much of a surprise. When we played here back in January, that was a factor.
It really is, but is, I guess my question is 15 offensive, I'm trying to think back on other games, is 15 offensive rebounds, I'm sorry, that's the wrong game.
The offensive rebounds allowed was 15, that's a little too many. Yeah. You want that to be around 10.
Okay, because I'm just looking at the Arkansas State game as well. It was 15.
So 15 and, offensive rebounds a lot in both games. And you're talking about the physicality. In some cases, I thought Joe Charles was going against some guys that were bigger and stronger, at power forward.
But that's kind of been the take all year, though, with unfortunately, Joe's had to draw that, and we've had to play that way.
He had 10 rebounds himself in this game.
Yeah. I think Joe handles it better than Michael does. And that's not a knock on Michael, because it's two different positions.
Right.
So,
Yeah, so the game was over. I actually thought the Cajuns are probably pretty optimistic here, considering that, they beat Arkansas State twice. I actually think having a double bye helped the Red Wolves. They got to watch our game. They knew how we were going to attack them from their previous two games. You remember the game in Lafayette? We won by double figures, but the Red Wolves missed 17 free throws in that game. It could have been a closer game had the Red Wolves made a few more free throws. So Saturday comes around, and I'm still optimistic of the first media timeout. The Cajuns are up 12 to 8. Brandon Hardy's made a couple of threes, long ones, and I said some of those shots he wasn't knocking down on Thursday's game may fall. Thomas was on Fields, their outstanding point guard, and Mike was doing a good job on him. So everything looking good the first few minutes. Of course, it didn't end that way. Half continues, and it was a key play, I think, here. Arkansas State had taken the lead, and Thomas drove the lane, and one of their big guys, Nelson, came out of nowhere, blocked the shot, led to a 7-0 run by the Wolves, and they've got the lead. They're feeling confident. And then the Wolves started making some threes, and I really admire the way their offense was run that day. They'd get threes before we could defend set up if we'd miss. We got cold. Not that our guys weren't getting back. We were getting back on misses. It's just harder to actually play defense when you're not taking, forcing the team to take the ball out of the basket. And they were able to get some threes before we were completely set. And when we did have our half-court defense set, the Wolves did a great job. We ran them off the line like we did in all three games. They'd kick it back out, but they wouldn't take the first shot. They'd make the extra pass or two extra passes. Dominguez is one of their big 6'10 guys. He made a couple. I think they made seven threes in the first half. So the extra pass by the Wolves led to a lot of open shots. And I think that came maybe from scouting our first two games. Good credit to their coaches. So when they started knocking them down, then you probably figured it was going to be a long day yourself.
Yeah, I was at baseball, so I was listening to it on the radio, and obviously it's a different perspective because you're relying on the announcer to tell you the game. But 46 points in the paint is huge, and that's against us. And then they're also making 27 points off of three pointers, and they shoot 41%, 50% and a half. And I think that's where the backbreaker really came from. When you're 7 for 14 in the first half, it's and you go into the halftime down 15. We've talked about it before, where there is that demarcation line. Maybe it's not 15. We prefer 20, but still 15, especially on a Cajun defense that prides itself on 3-point defense, is a rough half for them.
The last 6 or 7 minutes was really tough. The Cajuns got back into the game where their big guard named Todd got a tech. We got the lead down to 36-32. Halftime score was 48-43. So the final 4 minutes was a 12-1 advantage for the Wolves. Wolves blew it open there. At one stage, the Cajuns had three wide open shots. I wouldn't say they were layups, but they were. One was open three, the others were, open ones. I think one was a layup, one was an open mid-range. And all of them rimmed in and out. They continued this in the second half, but the Wolves did a good job with Ozanne Katanje. You remember the first game in Jonesboro? He dominated. They didn't double him much. Even in a game in Lafayette, they doubled him more. But in this game, they really doubled him a lot. His numbers were good. If he didn't get the turnover, though, maybe the next pass or pass was bad. It was attributed to somebody else. So a lot of turnovers by the Cajuns, I think, by trying to force it into Hosanna sometimes. So with that 15-point lead we just talked about, it was the second half just a formality. Early in the half, Kobe got a couple of buskets, kept us within striking distance. Then the Cajuns are still down double figures. They start firing up the threes because they have to. They're down. Can't buy one. And you referred to this at the end of the first half. Here's another. All those points in the paint came where we were pressuring the ball, trying to force turnovers, and we couldn't get the steals. They didn't end up getting layups or dunks. Their guards are much more physical. Todd and there's another guy. I think his dad had played at Arkansas State in the past. Hicks, Freddie Hicks had an outstanding game. They seem to be more athletic, more physical than us at the forward and guard position. Hosanna himself probably was our guy who could physically match up with him. Joe Charles had his nose broken in the game. came back in. Probably should have not come back in because he had two sticks of Kleenex in his nostrils. And he convinced the trainers apparently that he could play, but maybe he shouldn't have been in. I know the Cajun fans and coaches, staff, family all were pretty upset that his nose was broken and no foul was called on the Red Wolves. So, but anyway, game summary. The Cajuns were 4 from 3. Well, we were 3 for 15 or something like that?
3 for 15.
Yeah. And that was the problem all year long. The ball handling was an issue, I think, because of the physicality of the Wolves. They, you know, bumped Michael around a little bit and just said Joe had his nose broken. Hazana was doubled a lot, and maybe the not all on Hazana's fault, not kicking the ball back out. Teammates need to let him know, hey, here comes the double, throw it back out a little quicker. And the drive to the basket by Todd and Hicks were especially tough for us to guard. Jay Walker talked to Mike Murphy at the end of the game. Murphy basically gave all the credit to Arkansas State for playing an outstanding game. So, you know, we just had it was a bad game. Had this game happened in the middle of conference season, late January, early February, on a road trip, you probably would have thought nothing of it. It happens, you know, just a bad day. But Hicks was not healthy when we played either of the first two times. He's healthy now. And they sort of changed their offense. They still relied on the three ball, but they had the guy Todd drive to the basket often. You know, when people would run him off the line, he'd get the ball run off the line and end up getting some hockey assist. They were just a bad matchup for us. I'm surprised we beat them the first two times, but maybe because they weren't healthy.
Yeah, I think that. And when you get something like they did with, I know we've talked in the past about our balance scoring, six guys in double figures at the, I believe it was the Southern Miss game at the end of the season. They've got three guys with 23, 18, and 18, and go from the field 8 for 14, 7 for 10, 8 for 14, and 6 for 6 from the free throw line and 2 for 2. That's some well-balanced scoring. It's not something that you can just take away and say, okay, we're going to take Hicks. We're going to take the ball out of Hicks' hand because they've got so many weapons right now. And they really, after the games in Lafayette, they found something there and they started playing well. And we talked about, you know, the last game of the season, they got blown out at App State. But I think that really had to do with just with the App State being so up with senior night, an opportunity to get the number one seed. All those things went into play, in my opinion.
Yeah, and also the seeds were already set. They were going to be number four if they won that game or not. We've talked in the past, and I think it came true this season. The teams that do well in the tournament are generally the ones that are playing at their best at the end of the season. James Madison and Arkansas State were in the finals. I know App was doing well as well. It was sort of an upset for App to lose to Arkansas State on Sunday. But, you know, back to the Cajuns, you know, since early February, the team struggled with their three-point shooting and even some finishing shots at the basket. And that led to the poor result. You know, you weren't playing well going into the tournament. Yeah. Winning a game against Southern Miss gave you a little momentum. But also, I believe that despite what Mike Murphy said, he said that having only eight guys didn't really hurt us because you can only play eight guys. But we played several times throughout the season. And those extra minutes, the ninth and tenth guy play in earlier games, help your team from wearing down as the season progresses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you.
Yeah, that's okay. I think you were going to add on to my thought there. What were you going to say?
Yeah, there's no way that it couldn't, especially when you're playing, you know, in days like we're playing there at the end of the season, and you go, you know, Wednesday, Friday, and then the next week, Wednesday, you know, and doing those things. No one, unless, you know, I think the only way we can play games like that is if we have Elfrid Payton again. The guy was on the court all the time. We don't have anybody like that, and especially if Joe Charles gets hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And Joe wasn't as effective. They got hurt, and his shot didn't drop in either game. Not to take nothing away from the effort. And I actually think having a healthy Fuchs may have helped because he's a little bit bigger physically. I don't expect him back next season. We want to get into that.
Before we get into that real quick, Just quickly, your thoughts. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about the Cajuns next season. Got some promising kind of looks ahead. And one of the things that that kind of caught my eye this year, and I think we've talked about it quite a bit, is turnovers on the season. You know, this is only one of two seasons in the last 11 years that we've had under 400 turnovers on the season. So, to me, that's a very positive the way these guys handle the ball. And going back to the game against Arkansas State, the thing that I found interesting there on the turnover, and I don't know, maybe something was missed along the way, but, you know, we had 14 turnovers, and Arkansas State had 14 steals. So does that mean we didn't dribble the ball off our foot like we have a couple times, or made a bad pass that threw it out of bounds?
It seems to me that most of the turnovers in that game came from when trying to force it inside, because our shots were dropping. At the end of the game, we just nothing but shoot threes because we had to. So over the course of the season, I think the ball handling was fine. Before we preview next season, let's just sort of wrap up this season. You know, we just talked about these two games. Let's talk about this season overall. And I don't expect Timus Fuchs to be back. So we need to recruit a point guard. My understanding is, and I have no idea, but, you know, like Timus had a hard time handling the tough times we were going through mentally. I think he had a tough time handling the idea that maybe he would have to come off the bench. He mentally just couldn't handle it because he's been a winner all his life. He just couldn't handle the tough times. So good luck to him as we move on. But, you know, the last game here should not overly impact the season. The team won 19 games. We talked last week about what did you expect. 19 is, you know, with that kind of 17 D1 wins, pretty close to what I expected, and maybe better than many other people expected, considering the youth we had on the bench. You know, at the end of we had three freshmen and the eight guys coming off there at the end of the year. You remember back in the early in the season, we had played pretty well in the first game at home against Youngstown State, pretty well in the first half, and the first few minutes, second half at Toledo. I think blowing that lead at Toledo really set a negative tone for the tough to overcome confidence-wise in the road games in the pre-conference. We didn't win a road game. Won a couple in the MTE, but we didn't win a true road game until late December. And so going into conference play, you know, we're about 500. I think we're 7-5, but 5-5 in D1 games. And then we lose the first game at Marshall. James Madison, I thought we played great, just didn't win it. But then we got better. And why did we get better? I think it all goes mostly to Hazana Kintanje, if I'm pronouncing his name correct. You know, where he started scoring inside, throwing the ball back out, rebounding better, got in better shape. And that seemed to parlay out the rest of the team. Took his energy and was playing well. So big kudos to him. Nobody could see that coming. We started playing early January. And also, I give some credit to the coaches. You know, we started using the 1-3-1 at times, started using the 1-2-2 press with Joe Charles there. And so instead of just playing strict man-to-man, you know, I think our defensive strategies in-game helped. And then we saw some talent, flashes of talent from the three freshmen. Hardy, Fields, and Radliff all show potential at times, so... You know, it's the middle of season, middle of conference season there. We're looking pretty good, right? We were 17-9 at one time.
Yeah.
And then finished 19-14. So you have to be encouraged. What are your thoughts now? Build on what I just talked about.
Well, you know, I think going back to the turnovers, I think that's very impressive what we did there handling the ball. I think to Themis's credit, I thought he played well most of the season. I do think being away from home this far away that he was, you see that with athletes that struggle sometimes. You mentioned the mental side of the game, not maybe having a support staff here to help him out. Probably didn't help him at all either. So, and we don't know. And at the same time, we've also seen sometimes your support staff, whether they're here or not, get into your head and tell you you need to be somewhere else or you should be doing this. So it's not always positive sometimes to have in that support staff. But lots of positive. And in all honesty, I really felt like, you know, the Cajuns overachieved. Hosanna Katinje, I mean, the way he, you know, if you had told me at after the after the fall that he was going to come out and play the way he did, I would have kind of, I didn't see it the first four or five games with him.
Yeah, you did think he'd be third team all conference, did you?
Yeah, and Kobe Julian, what I mean, this was the Kobe we expected, not taking away what he's done in the past because he's been injured, but this was the Kobe we expected when we got him. So very excited to have him back. Joe Charles, I mean, you know, we saw flashes out of it at times last year. Again, I think he's playing. I think he's playing above his stature, meaning he's, you know, how they say it in boxing, punching above your weight type of deal. I think he's playing bigger men, and he's showing that he can handle them. So lots of positives.
Or if you marry a pretty girl, you're out kicking your coverage. I sure did.
Yes, exactly.
Joe got more. So, yeah. Basically, the whole thing is get the most out of your talent possible. But, you know, all that is true. But why did we slump? I don't know why, but the three-point shooting from early mid-February on just was not there. And we could not overcome that in today's game. You know, you've got to be able to make some threes. Perhaps all the extra minutes by the starters wore the team down as the season progressed. You think that's a possibility?
I think it definitely did. I also don't think it helped that Brandon Hardy goes in the concussion protocol after I think he had the flu. So we're missing him for a couple weeks there. So he's got to get back into that rotation again. So you're talking 3 weeks to a month out of that kind of that lineup and playing. So I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it did. And considering also, I was disappointed to have two players leave the team before the season end. I think both cases were more mental than physical. If you remember, Butler won us the game at Rice. He won us the game at Long Beach.
Yep.
And then we just talked about Themis. We also had four guys redshirted, three of them on scholarships, two due to injury, and the other two just wanted to develop. And, you know, a couple of times I asked the coaches, what are we going to do if we have four guys fall out? Well, they said, well, if we're out of the game, we'll just play with four. You know, if we have a chance to win, we may consider pulling a redshirt because some of those guys did travel with the team and dress out for every game. So Chancellor White was a guy, you know, I knew he had been hurt since early June or mid-June, but I respected the coach's wishes. They didn't want to make that public until, you know, to keep the health concerns of an athlete private until the season began. They'll expect some big things from him coming off the bench next year because he was a highly recruited player out of high school. So that's sort of a wrap on the 2023-24 season. Unless you have any final thoughts on it.
No, I couldn't agree with more everything you said there at the end.
Okay, so let's look ahead a little bit. The portal is always a concern. You know, I heard Jay Walker interview on 103.7 a little earlier today. So the same thing I'm saying, you never know. He doesn't expect anybody to any significance to leave, but you never know. So what I hope doesn't happen, you know, we've been hit twice in the last few years where we had guys going to the portal the very last day in July. It happened with Cedric Russell when he went to Ohio State. He was planning to be the point guard that year, even though he played off guard most of his career. And, you know, so we ended up scrambling. I guess that's 3 years ago. And last year, Jordan Brown didn't make his decision to go to Memphis until right in June 1st, July 1st, rather. Even though we were planning on him not coming back, you know, probably lost some recruiting because he was still on the roster. He was on the summer roster all the way to July 1st. So Hopefully we don't have anything like that, but we've got, if players do leave, hope they tell us they're going to leave early enough so we can plan to recruit around it. Speaking of recruiting, the focus of the offseason is bringing in a point guard during spring recruiting. I know they've got a certain guy in mind, and they've been recruiting him hard. Junior college guy, so I'll say there. They don't know if they'll get him, but they have one. They have a favorite, so to speak. But I'm sure they have backups as well. You know, they got to bring in a point guard. Is it the one their top choice? I don't know. You never know. Sometimes the second choice is better. Yeah. I also think another inside player is possible. Beyond the one they signed and early signed, they can Jeremiah Evans. Speaking of him, I think they'll have to figure out how to use him. Maybe the coaches need us. span. Okay, this guy's maybe the shot blocker we haven't had in a long time, maybe since Theo Akuba, although he'll be much younger. Most of the power forward. Who knows? I would suspect maybe that he'll back up Joe Charles at power forward if they just go with more experience, and then Joe could maybe back up Kobe at times because he's more of a natural three. They're both guys are threes, so they need to figure that out. So recruiting, as far as Evans is concerned, how to use him, you know, that'll start happening. Summer workouts will start in early June. And then the schedule needs to be finalized. I do know this, that Louisiana Tech, McNeese, and Rice will all come to the Dome. So that'll be an advantage. So, you know, nearby schools will be the D1 schools we'll be playing at home next year versus Eastern Kentucky and Youngstown like we played this year. Fans have more in common with those. I've been told that we have verbal agreements, can't name the schools because they don't like making it public till the contracts are signed. So you may not hear that till this summer with two other nearby D1 schools, one home, one away. I've also heard that there's an MTE that's going to start in Pensacola, maybe this year around Thanksgiving. And if it does, the Cajuns will be heavily considered to participate in it. I think it'll be a four team, so it'll probably be two extra games versus three. And the other thing about the schedule is the Sun Belt Conference MAC Challenge, you know, was two games this year, one home, one away. The November or February format, which a lot of people had problems with, including myself. But it may go to only one game. And if it does stay two games, it won't be November, February. It'll be November, December. I suspect it'll only go to one game going forward because what a lot of the other leagues do. And if it does, I would expect the Cajuns to push for play on the road since we have some decent game teams coming in. So if you play on the road against a MAC team in the fall, winter, early winter of 24, you can expect to have one of them come to your place the year after in 25, which we may need more home games. So wrap up, you know, we got to recruit, figure out how to use the guys you got bringing in and finalize the schedule. And I've heard coaches say in early June is like Christmas for them because they start seeing their new recruits in the summer workouts. And I should also say this, you know, the rest of the spring semester, which goes until early May, the current guys in the roster do continue to work out. They work out for their conditioning, and a lot of them work out on their individual skills. I would say like Brandon Hardy, you know, we talked about the progress he made. There have been players in basketball who improved their shot. It's not unheard of to become a better shooter. So he needs to improve his three-point shooting. Maybe look at some of the technique. Guys like Radliff, can any drills be made into them where they actually their reaction time will improve? I think some of the rebounds he didn't get because it's not that he's not hustling. It's just his recognition of where the ball is going to go. Reaction time is needs to improve. Maybe the trainers can work with him on that. So forgot to say that, you know, improve, develop the players you have now individually in the rest of the spring semester and in regular workouts that start in summer. And said this before, but folks don't remember, you're allowed 4 hours of work with your team in summer. So what the team generally does is they work 1 hour a day, Monday through Thursday. And come July, they'll actually start doing some scrimmaging. Some coaches think the summer period is actually better than the beginning of the fall period before you start working with the team.
Yeah, it'll be, I think we're lucky with this, especially the conditioning part that we have here in the weight rooms and everything. So,
yeah, Oliver Houston does a great job with they really like him. And so, you know, and I mean, that's another thing too. I don't expect any the coaches to leave, head coach all the way down. But, you know, last year we lost one. We brought in, we think, Philip Shumpert. And I'll say something about Coach Shump. He'd probably be the guy taking the lead in the spring recruiting.
Okay.
Because he has a lot of junior college contacts. I think some of the major junior college tournaments in the regions are this week and next. So our coaches were going to be at some of those regardless if we won the championship just because of the way the timing worked out. But now there'll be a lot of focus on some of these major junior college national tournaments in the next couple of weeks as far as recruiting goes as well. Can't say they're not going to recruit another high school person. I doubt it. I think people who will be coming in will be junior college or portal guys. That's something about the portal. People wonder, well, could we lose a couple of guys to the portal? Of course. But we could also use the portal to our advantage as well.
Yeah. It
goes both ways.
It'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out in the off season here. Do you know by chance what the portal open date is for basketball? I think it's the last day after the championship or a couple days after the.
Yeah, I know I wish he would have stayed. Now Isaiah Richards left right around the same time the signing day period. And speaking of that, spring recruiting begins. I see the second or third Wednesday in April, and it goes basically all the way until school starts. Because, you know, I remember a guy at LSU a few years ago didn't sign anywhere. He just showed up and went to class, and it was Chris Jackson.
Yeah.
So you can, but generally, it'll go mid-April to mid-May, generally, is what I'll say you'll expect. It's not, you don't expect to see people you sign initially your first day like it is in football. Sometimes official visits are still going on during that period.
Yeah. Well, it's the only sport that goes over the two semesters. So it's different in all aspects like that. So
yeah, and you recruit over both semesters. I know football sort of does the same thing, but the way football is today, 90% of your class is acquired in the early signing period. It's not uncommon for people at the mid-major level. You get your high school guys in the early period, and you get your JCs and your transfers in the second period. Sometimes you got to wait till the JC guys graduate from college too.
That's true. All right, Mike, anything else that you wanted to talk about, or the thoughts on the NCAA tournament with JMU going there?
I think JMU might be a 13 seed. I think actually they may be a more complete team than the Cajuns were last year when we played, you know, a three-point game to the one of the top teams in the SEC, because they seem to have more overall physicality. You know, last year we had Jordan Brown, but you look at the JMU lineup, they've got strong guys up and down. Hope App gets in that NIT bid. They will not get an at-large bid there. NET's not high enough. It's in the 60s or 70s. You've got to be at least in the 50s. And the NCAA, I don't know who it is, whoever runs the tournaments this year decided that the regular season champs don't get an automatic bid to the NIT, which I think is really a shame. It hurts basketball in every way possible at the mid-major level. But App had that win over Auburn in the pre-conference, that might get him a look. I will say one more thing too about our off-season opponent. Samford won the studying conference last night. They won their regular season and they won the tournament.
Okay.
Louisiana Tech, I think, tied for the regular season championship with their number two seed because they lost the tiebreaker. And I think the MAC tournament is this week too, so we'll see how Toledo does. The point of all that is our pre-conference schedule, even though didn't have a P5, so to speak, school on it, had some very good mid-majors on it. So it was not surprised the Cajuns struggled a little bit in the pre-conference considering the competition they were facing.
Yeah, James Madison is 54 in the net right now, and App State is 72. 72, if you know, might get you the NIT, but like you said, they've done that not to help the mid-majors, changing the rules. So
again, you go into the next season, your key is, okay, I know Coach Moreland said, where your goals? Go undefeated at home, win the conference, win the tournament, and advance to the tournament. You know, those are very high goals. They should be there. I would hope you'd be in the top four and get at least to the semifinal. You know, if we're not going to go undefeated at home, minimize the home losses, get in the top four and advance in the tournament. You know, we win 21, 22 games and, you know, get semifinals or finals. That probably would be a successful season for next year. Not good enough for many places. By frankly, coaching staff, they have higher standards themselves.
Yep. All righty. Any last thoughts before we sign off for the day? Sorry.
Preview maybe in late May when the conference recruiting will probably be done by about then, and we'll see if we can get together and talk about the people we're bringing in.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate your time as always. Enjoyed the season. Disappointing end, but I do think the future is bright with it, as long as we don't lose anybody in the portal of significance.
And so. Bring in more physical athletic players, which is –
yes.
Kevin Foote had an article this morning, and he and Coach Moreland agreed that's the goal.
Okay. Good. All right. Thank you again. For Mike Hebert, I'm Craig Melanson. You've been listening and we're talking. We've been talking Raging Cajun basketball. Thanks for listening.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.